Welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast with Matthew Sardo.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Holy sh! They're actually monkeys fighting robots!
You can follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots and on Instagram at monkeys fighting robots. Make sure to download and review our podcast from iTunes and Stitcher. And now, here's your host, Matt.
Welcome to the 116th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots. Today's show is going to be deafening. EJ and I are talking about Marvel's Iron Fist on Netflix and The Great Nerd Divide. Justice League trailer came out last week and the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer came out this week. DCEU fans are fighting against MCU fans, and we just want it to end, so we're going to try to figure out how to do it. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. I'm also the co-founder of MonkeysFightingRobots.com. Joining me in the banter is my co-host, movie critic EJ Marino.
If you do like the show, guys, make sure you subscribe on Blog Talk Radio and give us a comment. I'm a comment queen. I will always go through all of the comments, read them, reply to them. Matt's really good at it as well, so don't forget to give us comments, guys.
I'm more of a duke than a queen. I'm not really going to be in the queen category of commenting.
Okay, let me just be my queen. You'll be the duke. No, we're not married. We just happen to be queens and dukes together.
Well, what's a duke's wife called?
A duchess.
A duchess.
Though a comment duchess sounds way cooler.
Again, a comment duchess. It does. I mean, I went to a concert last night, so one, I'm hungover. Two, I can't hear anything. So when we start with like actual real thought questions, like, hey, what's a duke's wife called? My brain's like gone. Like, it's just solidly gone.
Yeah, maybe we don't need actual... We'll start talking about nerdy things. It's a little less stressful on the brain.
Yeah, but if you get a chance to see Dinosaur Jr., definitely get earplugs. It was fun. It was a really good concert. I mean, they came out in 94. They're really old now. And then there was like this metal thrash punk band before that were really old. And the guitar player looked like an evil samurai from like Iron Fist, you know, like but better Iron Fist.
And he was like a Fu Manchu and everything.
He just had the mustache, but shaved head. He looked like when there's the Asian guy that's the butcher with the hatchets in the kitchen. Like he looked like that guy. But then he was like shredding the guitar so fast, and the guy looked like he was like 55, like almost 60, and his hand was just moving so fast. It was bizarre.
He had to give up killing people, so he decided to start just being an amazing guitar player and like in hopes to stop killing people with his awesome Asian skills.
It was a random bizarre Tuesday night. And I'm glad that we're recording the podcast today, because I think hungover Matt, you know, can barely hear, voice is a little cracking here and there, is ready to talk nerdy debate stuff. Because Iron Fist came out and I watched the series. I did not enjoy it as much as I enjoyed some of the other series. And I own Iron Fist. First appearance of Iron Fist is somewhere in this room right now. And I really like the character. Matt Fraction, Ed Brubaker wrote a really good series in the late 2000s, maybe early. Yeah, late 2000s when they wrote it. It's a brilliant series. And so I was really looking forward to them transferring that onto screen. And it never quite happened. And just kind of meh about it.
I don't think I'm as meh as other people. I actually enjoyed it. One of the major complaints is it's very soap opera. And I was like, all right, that doesn't bother me. It's typical show. I feel like the complaints that are happening with this show, I'm like, yeah, this has been in every Marvel show since the Marvel shows have started. Like, I don't know why this one decided to be such a everyone decided to turn this critical like lens on it and look at this harder than I feel like they've looked at some of the other shows.
I think the reason why people are on this show is because there's no likable characters. This was the first show where I'm like watching it and I was like, I don't care about any of you. The only person I cared about was the girl from The Matrix, Carrie Ann Moss.
Oh my God, I forgot. I completely forgot that was Carrie Ann Moss. It's like, she looks the same, but it's also like, it's been so long since she's played Trinity that I'm like, oh shit, she is in that show.
But Luke Cage, I was not a fan of that show either, but there was tons of likable characters in that universe, and I liked them all. I hated the villain and the final villain, but like Cottonmouth was an interesting character. His sister was an interesting character. This one, I'm just like, it's two bratty kids, their dad that looks like what the Iron Fist should look like, and then you have Danny Rand, where, why did they give him that horrible beard?
I don't... that was a lot of the costume art direction of choices in that I'm like, that's what we went for? That? Oh, okay. Like, yeah, even his hair, like you said, there was just something not – I felt like he got casted so late in the game to be him. It's just like, well, this is the only white guy that we have right now. It's just like, yeah, I was really off with the character choices of him, just even design-wise and – even his character himself, I don't know, all of these characters are, I labeled him in our notes as white privilege bro, because he's pretty white privilege bro. His whole family reminds me so much of the Trumps, that their whole drama of like the Trump, Ivanka, Donald Jr. saga in the courthouse or the little like meeting room. I was just like, this is weird. Maybe this is too timely for me.
I don't know if you would have liked it more or less, but in the comic books, he's a little bit of a goofball, but he's also like a martial artist kind of guy. I think if they had him a little bit more aloof, but he was just kind of partially aloof. But I think if he was more aloof, it kind of would have been better for the show. I also didn't, they were talking about, he's like, I'm the Iron Fist. But like, you're a really shitty Iron Fist. Like, he kept getting beat up. I was like, if you're really good at this, like, but they don't talk about it till later that he's like, oh, I didn't finish my training. I have so much more to learn, which I think if they established that early on, I would have been like, oh, you're kind of like Luke from Empire Strikes Back, where you kind of know some shit, but you don't know all of it. So you're just going to get beat up. That was my question. I was like, if you're the Iron Fist and you're this Kung Fu master, like, why are you getting beat up all the time?
Well, that's what happens when you steal your powers and you don't earn them. And that was a big problem I had with him is, he basically stole his powers from the city, and I just completely was like, that's how we're going to give him it. It was a really odd origin story where at least I felt like, and this is the weird comparison I have to this, this reminds me a lot of Arrow, where I think the Danny Rand, Oliver Queen characters kind of go through a similar arc, more so than I think Danny Rand does with any other character. So yeah, I was just like, okay, cool. I'm seeing how these two people kind of go about their story, and I felt like Arrow on the island earned his. I was just like, okay, cool, where Danny, I don't feel like he learned his lesson until a little bit later, like you said, when he was just like, I have more to learn. Then I'm like, oh, I like you a little bit more already. It was just that instant one line of just like, I'm not fully done yet. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Now it all makes sense. Where was this episode 2 at least?
There was definitely lots of writing issues with this show. We were talking in the Facebook group with all the writers that it would have been really cool if the whole show took place in Kung Lao. Then it ended with him getting to Earth or getting to New York City when the Defenders formed right there. And if you had a whole show of him just fighting, like Mortal Kombat show of him rising up the ranks and getting the Iron Fist, and then it's like, okay, I got to go back now. It's been 15 years. Like, that would have been really cool and really interesting characters and people you can kind of root for. Because like Davos, I was like, oh, I saw him finally show up, and I was like, that's an interesting character. But it took 10 episodes for that guy to show up.
Yeah, it's definitely a writing problem. Maybe they are trying to focus on the Defenders a lot, and maybe they were just like, we kind of need to do Iron Fist before we do the Defenders. So that was something wrong. I don't know what to pinpoint on my exact distaste for. It's definitely not the fighting. I see you wrote down in your notes the fighting got better as the series did, and I definitely agree. I think it evolved, and maybe that was a character evolution for him. Maybe he did evolve as a fighter, and so yeah, I don't want to say I hate it, because that's not it. I really don't think he should be by himself. I think that's a major problem.
Yes, I agree with you. I want to touch back on the martial arts really quick, because I don't know if it's them stereotyping the show or not, but once they went to China is when the martial arts got better. When they were in China, the drunken master scene, I was like, oh, where has this been? If he was fighting all these different martial arts styles, that would have been cool. And the Drunken Master fight for me was probably the best fight of the show, because just the juxtaposition of the two different styles, and then to just see a Drunken Master, because you don't really get that too often in Kung Fu films right now.
No, that's definitely a lost art. There's a character like him in Mortal Kombat, which is so funny that you brought up Mortal Kombat. And I just realized that show would have been really cool to see him kind of go through a tournament based or something a little bit more to flesh that guy out, because I didn't even really think about setting him in just that and not putting him in New York yet. Yeah, that would have been way, way better.
No, because we've seen that world in Mortal Kombat, you know, when they do the tournament in the first film and even in the second. Was there a third film? I don't know.
There was like a third, like straight to DVD one that stars Michael Jai White, which was kind of awesome. Like, it's one of those like, well, this was only meant to be on the internet, but I like you.
But that's exactly what I'm envisioning, is that first Mortal Kombat where they go to this new world and this kid goes to this new world and then he fights the tournament and becomes the Iron Fist and fights the dragon at the end. But you got none of that mystical element about it. And I think that's what's really cool about the Iron Fist, is this mystical element in that mystical world that he's from. And they brought it to New York and it just rang hollow because you were so far removed from all the cool stuff. And then just that corporate drama was, I couldn't stand it at all. Ward was the most annoying person in the world until he became a drug addict killer and his hair was messed up. I was like, oh, I really like you now. And then 30 minutes later, his hair slicked back and he's back to normal. I was like, damn it. I was like, I don't like you again.
No, I like that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde feeling he had there. And I thought that would have been really cool. I don't mind the courtroom aspect. It just, or not the courtroom, the corporate like business aspect. If it was in a different show. That it just didn't really fit in the show. I was like, oh, I'm entertained by it. Like I said, it's very like these kids having to deal with them being bossed around by their dad and kind of having to deal with it. And the fact that he's not there and some of them don't want to run the company. It's only in the will. I was like, this is a decent drama. Not for Iron Fist, though. Maybe save this for a different show, Netflix.
It just doesn't work. It wasn't exciting. And I feel like superheroes kind of need to be exciting. The most exciting thing for me was when Rosario Dawson took home 4 boxes of to-go food in that one episode. I was like, Rosario, just getting it. Just taking the free takeout. It was like this, and this is how I watch these kind of shows. Like, I'm looking at every little detail because these are like the shows I really like to watch. And so I get excited when Rosario Dawson takes home 4 boxes of to-go food.
I'm so glad you brought up Rosario Dawson because she's a highlight for me in anything. I love seeing her anytime she pops up in a show or in a movie, and then to see her in this, and I'm like, I hope you really do have a good spot in the Defenders, because you're a big highlight in the little bit you were in Iron Fist and what you were in Luke Cage. And I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. I like you. I want to see more of you.
She reminds me of Jeffrey Dean Morgan in The Walking Dead. Whenever she's on, everybody else sucks acting-wise. You realize how bad they are.
It's because they come from like the movies, and I really do think they bring something Hollywood to them, where a lot of like The Walking Dead was always a cool show. But once Jeffrey Dean Morgan got there, you really did see that he is a Hollywood actor working with TV actors. Same thing with what I think with Rosario Dawson, because what Finn Jones is from Game of Thrones, like he doesn't have this big, massive following either. So, yeah, she definitely kind of legitimized the show as soon as she got on.
And then you had brought up that you think the show or season 2 should be Luke Cage and Iron Fist. Power Man and Iron Fist should be season 2 of Luke Cage and season 2 of Iron Man, Iron Fist. That should be Power Man, Iron Fist. That should be the next show. Not the next show, but something that should improve on these two shows.
You know what's funny? I would even go as far as saying the next show. Cool, these both have a good first season, but put them together. I really do think, I know you're not as in love with the team up as I am, but I do think both characters could learn something from each other. Even both shows could have a good mixture of them. And I definitely think that the critical reaction to both Luke Cage and Iron Fist were kind of lukewarm, especially in the Marvel world where everything gets praised super crazy. So even for them to have a lukewarm reaction, I was like, oh, shit. So I definitely think to salvage both shows before season 2 can either hurt them more, put them together. They have that comic book background. They are 2 very different characters that working together. I think that the banter between both actors would be great. So maybe after Defenders, we'll see how they work together.
Well, you were talking about to me like before the show. And OK, I want to clear up one thing really quick. I never said I don't want to see them together. Okay, I want all the nerds out there to know.
I know you said you weren't like, oh, this is my favorite series. So it was just more of like, that's how I took it. It was like, you were like, I could kind of see them not together.
I still want my Amazing Kung Fu. Like, if they give me like a full-blown fantasy adventure Kung Fu season 2 of Iron Fist, I'm down for that over, you know, being in New York City. Hal, we've been in New York City forever in the MCU. I don't really need to be in New York City. But what we were talking about before in the show, and you brought this up, and I didn't think about it, is that a Power Man Iron Fist series can be really relevant just to that Power Man is African American and Iron Fist is a rich white boy, and the conversations that they could have could be real, and they could explore some ground that not many TV shows do.
And it can even go to sometimes one-off jokes of being like, Iron Fist, like, man, I've had it really hard. And Luke Cage could just turn to him and be like, I'm going to kill you. Like, you're so, like, you don't understand, like, where I'm from and where you're from. I think they definitely have a good built-in dynamic there. And even the fight scene, I would love to see, like, Iron Fist bounce off, like, Luke Cage in a scene. Like, there's so many possibilities that I think them doing a show together could probably be one of the, and that hasn't happened before. You know, I don't think any of these superhero movies have really, like, spun off into their own. I've said I wanted a Rocket Raccoon and Groot spinoff movie, but this could be a good way of being like, hey, let's start putting our, like, characters together.
I think the team-up idea is a great idea. We kind of talked about it with the DC universe, that maybe instead of, like, having these big expanded universes, is just do one-off team-ups. Because then you just kind of bounce off each other. And the buddy cop formula works. It does.
Oh, it does. Especially, like, I think the superhero world lends it to itself. There's so many team-ups you could possibly do. Like, with the DC side, you could do, like, a Green Lantern Flash one. Or here, the Power Man Iron Fist. I know it's probably not going to happen, but I'm way more hyped about this imaginary show than I should be.
Iron Fist wasn't the greatest. It does expand the universe. I think Defenders will be a really good series. They just wrapped filming on that, because having Daredevil, Power Man, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones, like, you're gonna have a really interesting group of characters. Like, what is Jessica Jones gonna say to Danny Rand?
She's gonna be one definitely that I just can't wait to see what Jessica Jones does with all of them, actually. I know she had that interaction with Luke Cage, but a more fleshed out interaction. This, it has a lot of possibilities, and I really hope the negative Iron Fist reviews don't really hurt Defenders, because I think it does have a chance.
And Rosario Dawson, she had a love letter from Power Man. Like, Jessica Jones and Power Man are supposed to get together. That's what they do in the comic books, and they have a child. They have a love child. But what is Rosario, what's that triangle going to look like?
See, and there's already built in, like, stories there with, like, that triangle. Yeah, I'm far more interested in Defenders than I think all of the four shows individually. I think this one show, it's going to be really good for Marvel. I hope.
So do I. Well, Sigourney Weaver's going to be in it. She's the villain.
I mean, her voice was in Finding Dory, and that made that movie that much better. So yeah, I'm ready for her to be in this as well.
The Great Nerd Debate.
Our second half of the show, the topic is a topic that we kind of just always have a conversation about. I see it happen all the time, because we share stuff in the Facebook groups, because we want people to read our stuff and we think that we have good content. So we share in Facebook groups, and we're all over the place, whether it's DC, Marvel, you know, Power Rangers was... We had people on edge this past weekend with different reviews and Power Ranger fan. And it's just this nerd divide that we got going on, which I don't understand, because I grew up in a time where there was no internet. And when you went into a comic book store, like, those were your friends, and you kind of had debates about things, but you kind of had animated debates, but it wasn't like ragey debates. Like, you left it and you're like, oh, we're good, but it's weird now, you know, because now there's a lot of nerds. Before, there used to be a few nerds. I mean, because there was no internet and you couldn't see the other nerds. There was tons of them out there, you just didn't see them all.
No, I agree, and I think it definitely, this, the way fans are acting right now, and how, and trust me, it's not just fans. I do think we could put some blame on critics as well, because I do think they add to this fan divide. But yeah, so it's interesting, and I definitely think it's a product of its time, because this wasn't like it even 10 years ago. I don't think we're as passionate. Like, I don't ever really remember being like, well, look at these Christopher Nolan movies compared to the first Avengers film. It's just so interesting that I don't know what happened recently that, like, really sparked this fire debate.
I don't want to put, like, blame on anything, like blaming critics or blaming us or blaming me. It's more of us just kind of having this conversation. And I hope that if you're listening, you kind of want to, like, comment on this and give us your kind of feedback. Because at Monkeys Fighting Robots, I want to be able to talk about Batman versus Superman, or, you know, Spider-Man Homecoming, and just have a good conversation about it. Like, if the films aren't good, like, let's have an honest debate about why they weren't good from a filmmaking point of view. And that's where you and I kind of butt heads on, but I still can see where you're coming from. You know, you're a fan of film. So you see these heroes on the big screen, and that's your point of reference. And you then you go back and you kind of read back what's going on. With me, I've been reading the comic books, and now I'm like all hyped up because they're on screen now. But you don't bring in that baggage that I do. So we butt heads because I'm like, it should be like this. And you're like, I want to see this. And we don't agree on it, but we can at least kind of have a conversation about it.
And I think that's the major thing that we should take away from this is I was saying no one opinion matters more than anyone else's. If you say a movie's bad and I say it's good, that's both fair. That's bare, like fair points of it. I don't think you're less of an opinion strong. That's where I'm going to is like you need to see the other side and not have an ego about this. It's like you like the movie. You feel it's bad. That's cool. You feel that way. It's not set in stone. And that's my big thing is like your opinion is cool, but it doesn't weigh anything.
My opinion weighs. It just weighs. It weighs a lot. I mean, I had some food before I came to this podcast. But my thing is what I'm seeing is if I like the Justice League trailer or if I like the Spider-Man trailer, what is happening is somebody's trying to destroy my like because whether there's a let's kind of start this over where I've seen it where people hate on something, you know, they'll hate on the MCU movies and that make somebody else want to hate on the DC. It's like a cycle is going on because I hate on DC films. You want to hate on what I enjoy.
Well, yeah, it's so like the childhood mentality of like, well, that's the easiest low blow to go for. And I don't think it's fair. I will always say it's like, I don't like the MCU. I like the DC movies, but they have nothing to do with each other, though. They're apples and oranges, especially this weekend, seeing both trailers for both films. They're nothing like each other. That's why I don't understand why, like, I don't go to anyone who likes a Marvel movie and be like, meh. Unless I'm joking, like, one time I wrote on a Felix review and be like, boo, this sucks, just because I wanted to mess with him. And that's where I'm talking about, like, there should be a way to joke about it without having to tear somebody down. And that's a big thing I have is I love these DCU movies, and I'm just like, but why can't I love it? Why can't I enjoy it? Because someone always has to be like, well, they're bad. It's like, oh, that's cool. That's how you feel. And definitely after this weekend, seeing both trailers come out and the different reaction, it's really interesting.
And my reaction is with the Justice League one. I was like, oh, look, lots of pretty colors. Yay. I'm super excited. Like, this could be awesome. And I'm going to give it every chance possible because that's why I'm in this business is because I want to see this stuff succeed. The Spider-Man trailer, I'm super pumped for. I was pumped for that before they even said they were doing anything with it because it's what I like. But they're completely different. They're absolutely completely different. They're stylized completely different. And, you know, Snyder likes to do certain things in his films that John Watts. Is it John Watts? Is the director of?
I believe so, yes.
He's a first-timer, so he doesn't, you know, you don't bring on that baggage of being like, oh, that's a Zack Snyder move, or oh, that's a Michael Bay move.
It's very funny you bring in Zack Snyder, because I will say some of this great nerd divide, it starts to feel that it becomes personal. There's a lot of times where someone would see the Justice League trailer and be like, well, look at that Zack Snyder slow motion, and it's like, you're literally knocking down the film because you don't like the artist creating it. And I don't think that's fair sometimes, and I think that's what some of the backlash that I see with it, that it's like, maybe since the MCU movies don't do as such notable directors, that we can't really do that it just felt kind of odd that like god damn it's just like why do people hate Snyder so much. So it's like I do think that hurts the film a little bit. Same thing with the critical reaction, same thing with fan reaction, is no one has ever once talked about a Justice League trailer or Batman v Superman without bringing Snyder into it in a negative way.
No, he's the M. Night Shyamalan of this current decade.
That was a great way of putting it, which is so funny that M. Night's kind of like lessened up that thing. And I just don't understand. One, because as someone who I don't have a crazy background in comic books, I fell in love with comic books because of the movies. Like, I remember seeing the original Batman film and being like, I don't know who this guy is, but I want to be him. I think Batman's awesome. So that's where my love comes from. So to see Snyder, who loves film and loves comics, it's just like, he's doing what all of us want to do. Like, I never get it. So that's why I think a lot of the hate sometimes or this great fan divide is also we're placing blame on the wrong things.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all, because we've lost the ability of changing the channel, and instead of changing the channel, now we petition and we riot and we complain and we do whatever it is. We change our Facebook profile picture. Like, the, you know, I mean, like, it's just change your channel if you don't like it, or don't go see it.
Well, that goes down to where everything has to be debate now. If you post, like we kind of talked about it, if you post something in a group and someone doesn't like the Spider-Man trailer, they have to be like, but why did you like it? What did you like about it? And I'm like, I'm just, there's sometimes that I'm like, not everything needs to be a debate. And sometimes you could just like something, or like you said, change the channel. If you didn't like it, just ignore it. Like, I didn't like the Spider-Man trailer as much. I talked about what I liked, talked about what I didn't like, and that's it. That was gone. I didn't care about it again. And that's where I think is a lot of people, it's just like, I may not like something, but I don't want to pit these two things against each other, because one, they're not pitable. I really don't think, other than the fact that some of these people wear capes, there's nothing in common.
And this, we're getting into a grander debate with this, because a few weeks ago, I saw a friend post a picture, and it was said good hustle and bad hustle. And I was like, when did we start debating hustle? Like,
oh, I trust me, I did a whole rant about this, that it's like, I didn't sleep last night. I was hustling all night working. It's just like, that's cool. Like, I don't, especially because I see it a lot. I have a lot of friends in the film industry, and they're like, my job's cooler than your 9-to-5. And it's just like, you work as a grip on a low level, third rate indie movie. Chill the fuck out. Like, that's definitely a big problem I have. It's just like, everyone has to be like, well, mine's better than yours. And that's a big debate that I think, yeah, we are getting into a bigger grandiose like idea of like, well, what's wrong with humans? And it's so hard in the nerd community. I don't know when the nerd community is like, someone who was always on the defensive, I think now that being nerdy is cool, I think it is getting kind of cocky. And it's like, do you even read comic books? That's where it's so interesting that now the nerds are becoming the bullies.
It's so bizarre. I mean, like, we had a reporter cover New York Comic Con, and his job was to take pictures of the cosplayers. And I got an email with a person yelling at me going, did you get consent from everybody that you took a picture from? And I was like, it's our job to take photos of cosplayers. And that, because now there's this cosplay does not equal consent. And I went through, I had to call like New York Comic Con. I was like, can you give me your rules on journalistic photography?
Well, see, and I think that's different. I think if you are wearing an outfit as a girl and you're like a poison ivy and it's a little revealing and sexy, that doesn't mean you can come up and touch my body and all that. That's the difference of, to me, cosplay consent. Though, if you're taking a photo, that's why you're fucking wearing an outfit at a convention in front of people, is to get photographed, and people be like, oh, your outfit's cool. To me, that was the point of it, though. So I definitely get the idea of, like, if you're dressed slutty, that doesn't mean you'd be treated like a slut. That does not happen. But to be photographed, that's the whole point of being dressed up in public.
It was just, it's so weird that we're, and whatever we do, and I've really become really cautious since I started Monkeys Fighting Robots, to where I don't want to have, like, a backlash. Like, not that I'm afraid of the backlash. I guess I am afraid of the backlash since I've been protecting myself away from it, but it's weird. It's just a weird thing, because like, this should be a safe place to talk about nerdy shit, and then I'm still worried about getting a backlash from the nerd community.
And I think there's a certain amount of backlash you should worry about. Like I never care. There's an extent where like, I like the DC movie. Movies. And I will definitely, like, I wrote the whole piece of like Superman, Batman v Superman is a misunderstood masterpiece. Do I want to hear the feedback on it? Yes. But there's a certain amount of like, just don't care about the backlash. Like that's why I like that you do it. You do focus a lot on positivity. And like, and that's what I wrote a whole piece of, like, deconstructing critics and why critics suck. And then I'm like, no, why? That's such a negative idea for an article. So I shifted to then do critical reevaluations of movies. And that's a good way. And I think I definitely learned that from you, is like, just be more positive. Like, I thought I was a condescending asshole, and then dealing with the nerd community, I'm like, God, maybe I'm not as mean as I thought I was.
But that's the thing, is we should be enjoying this time, because there's so much nerdy shit coming out, and there wasn't for the longest time. I know that you trivialize my time without Star Wars, but I was a little person when that giant divide of time happened. Now it seems like, oh, you know, it's a blink in the eye, but back then there was nothing. You know, you had Spider-Man, you had a Spider-Man TV series in the 70s, and I watched that shit. Nobody complained about that.
Oh, yeah, especially 70s TV shows with superheroes. I wish we can go back to those simple days where, like, Wonder Woman wasn't even from Themyscira. Like, ah, the good old days.
Because I've complained about stuff like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just can't stand that. But I just stopped watching it. Like, shows that I can't stand end up just going out of my queue, and then I just don't worry about them. And then some people will say they get better, and then you go revisit them and stuff like that. I mean, that's with me with Better Call Saul. I mean, it's a good show. It was just really depressing and I didn't want to watch it, but people were like, hey, you got to really watch it. So now I'm going to go back and watch it and be depressed again. But no, there's, I don't understand. I just want some understanding, EJ.
And there's also, there's so many other things you can, I don't think you can, I think you can hate something, but not make it a war or like, I think some people take it so personal. Like, I don't like the MCU. Some people feel so offended that I don't like it. And I feel like they take it so personal. And that's where some things is like, I don't like this, but this doesn't discredit your liking of something. And that's something I want to get down to. You kind of said it. It's just like either ignore it. It's like so many people hate the DCEU. If I went and commented on every person who said something negative about like the Justice League trailer, I would be exhausted. So that's why it's just like, look, that doesn't take away you hating it or you liking it doesn't take away from how I feel about it. That's something I wish the whole community would just realize is it's still there. Or that goes down to the, well, it ruined my childhood. It's still there. It still exists. It wasn't erased. Like, just chill.
My question is, I come from a sports background and there are teams that I fucking loathe. Like, I can't stand Philadelphia. I can't stand Boston. LA to a certain extent. The Chicago Cubs can just catch on fire for all I care. Baseball season starting up this week, so
I could definitely tell with that passionate anti-baseball rant there.
I'm going to Chicago in a few days for opening day of baseball, but
I so still, maybe take that I hate Chicago like
no it's fine
out.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it because you know
you'll deal with that backlash. You don't want nerd backlash, but you're like, fucking sports fans, fuck your Cubs. Like,
but that's my thing, is that there are teams that I loathe, but like my friends are Cub fans. And I can have a debate with them about baseball. And we can have a kosher debate here and there. And the same thing with wrestling. Like, I remember, you know, my friends be like, I like The Rock. You know, they're going to be like, I like Stone Cold Steve Austin or whatever hell his name is. And you could have that debate and people would just watch it play out on the field. Where you can want, you know, like, oh, my team's better because we scored more runs, or my wrestler won. Like, you actually have like feats of strength that are produced on the field, and then people are like, oh, my team is not that good, and I don't think it translates that well with like box office doesn't really translate success in film or creativity.
I love when that happens too, and they're like, well, the box office, and I'm like, yeah, we'll always go down to Avatar is the number one movie ever, and it's just Fern Gully mixed with the Bible, mixed with this. It's just like, that doesn't equate success, and I think that's a very interesting dynamic, is how people will be like, that's why I'm saying there is no right and wrong answer of this, and that's one thing I want critics, fans, and everyone to know is there is no right and wrong. It's just entertainment. This is such a subjective medium that I don't know how anyone can think that their opinion is like the end all truth. I don't even think Roger Ebert would feel that cocky about his opinion.
Oh, we should probably ask somebody who has a big opinion.
I thought you were going to ask Roger Ebert. I'm like, I don't think we can do that.
Oh, no. We could totally get a Ouija board for one episode.
Oh, what? And that's the first live broadcast is us trying to talk to Roger Ebert. How do you feel about the nerd debate?
Roger, what did you think of the Zack Snyder Justice League trailer?
Oh, God. Knowing how he is, or he was, because, God, that was one critic that is like, he didn't like horror films. That was something he would always talk about is, I don't like the genre. But he would never discredit anyone else for not liking it. He was like, I just think this was a piece of crap. That's cool. That's my opinion. And that's something I wish everyone would just bring into. It's like, just chill. Maybe everyone just needs to be a little bit more of a hippie.
And then I don't know where is this battle coming from? Because I know that there's like, you get beat down because you're a millennial and you don't have as much experience as other people and all these other things. And I don't get it. And, you know, I'm just trying to figure, I'm looking for the solution. And since I don't have it, this podcast ends up becoming blank air, because I'm like,
well, instead of looking for a solution, we have to figure out the root of the problem first and really, really dig that down and figure that out.
Can we just kick out all the fake nerds and just go back to the original group?
See, and that's what happens is I get called a fake nerd a lot, though. Or I get called a fanboy, which is my favorite insult ever. We talked about the idea of a snowflake being an insult, and I'm like, I enjoy this as a fan. I don't think there's something wrong with that. Why is that a slur now?
When did a snowflake become an insult? I don't even understand. I understand the Becky thing. Like, that cracks me up. I have an ex-girlfriend. Her name's Becky. And as soon as Becky became an insult, I was like, that's so Becky.
No, I think snowflake definitely comes down to, like, well, you're special. You think you're unique and you
want
everything.
Well, every snowflake is unique. That's the whole point of a snowflake.
I know, but God forbid you feel as yourself that you're somewhat special and unique. It's bad. You're a snowflake. You're fucking millennial. And I'm like, chill out, people. That's what I said, everyone. And it's not just a nerd debate. We talked about, I think sports has gotten a little harder. I think wrestling even, like, I think everything's just gotten a little bit more battle-y. And I don't think,
why. You're a millennial. But, like, I'm a Gen Xer. Like, we had Diana Ross or Dionne Warwick tell us children are the future. Like, I mean, like, we had theme songs back then.
Let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense.
Correction, Matthew. Whitney Houston released The Greatest Love of All in 1985.
I mean, Lady Gaga did tell us we were all born this way, so that was my theme song.
Yeah, but you were like little monsters. Like little monsters. That's what you guys were. But like, I mean, like...
Oh, I hate that term, actually. That's
monsters.
Fun fact you learned about me is I like Lady Gaga. I don't call myself a little monster. God damn it, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. That was a rant that I've had built in me.
Is that because you don't like the Edward Munster reference to yourself?
Because I look like him.
And aha!
I understand that I look like Eddie Monster. Like, please, I understand it. Thanks, Matt. You triggered me. That's another snowflake word. You just triggered me.
Oh, you triggered? That's a word now, too?
Like, triggered. It's just like, you don't, I'll give you the more extreme sense. It's like, it happens a lot in colleges. It's like, we're going to be discussing the topic of rape. And some girl's like, I was raped once, triggered. That's where things like, if you hear something you don't like, you could jokingly be like, I was triggered. So that's what I do a lot with, oh, I saw that MCU trailer, I'm triggered.
I'm so confused. You guys have like a whole new language.
I know. Welcome to
snappy chatting and stuff. Because I play hockey.
Snappy chatting.
I play hockey and on Thursday nights, and it's a younger group of guys that I play with. And a dude's like, dude, I sent you a message. I snapped at you. And I was like, well, you shouldn't snap at him. That's not nice. I mean, but he's like, no, Matt, I like sent him a message through Snapchat, you moron.
No. This topic got really sad. This is finding out Matt is really out of tune with 2017 slang.
I am. I am totally out of it because I went to go see a band that started out in like 1992. I saw them in 2017. I mean, that was my Tuesday night. Because I went to go
see. At least
I'm
older than that band.
You might have been conceived to one of their songs.
No, I was probably conceived to like rap music.
Oh, really? Was it?
Yeah, the things to find out about me is I was raised by hood rats.
What year were you born?
90.
So 89.
Whoa. Oh, so there's probably maybe Paula Abdul. I know that's not really rap, but that was a good time.
Oh, like Rush, like Paula Abdul.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, come on.
Oh, because Neo was in her was in that video.
I always forget that the one was actually a backup dancer or like an extra in a Paula Abdul video.
Who?
Neo, the one.
No, he wasn't a backup. He was the main story.
He was the sexy guy in the video.
And that was when Emilio Estevez was dating Paula Abdul. It was pretty crazy.
When Emilio Estevez was a reference that we can make.
Oh, man.
Oh, come on. You say that to anyone other than me that's my age. They're like, who?
The guy in charge of the Mighty Ducks. Okay, people, for anybody who had a question... You know,
where's the Mighty Ducks reboot, BTW? That's something we need to get onto. Like, we'll do a whole podcast of when are we getting the Mighty Ducks reboot?
What crappy late 80s, early 90s Disney movies do we want rebooted now with good special effects?
Yeah. That is the greatest podcast ever. Let's leave the Rocketeer out of that. That's perfect.
The Rocketeer is awesome. That guy directed the Captain America First Avenger film.
Wow, actually, and I actually really like that movie.
No, that's the guy, that's Joe Johnson, where we coined the term aggressive family films.
Oh my god, I forgot. That's a throwback to another show, is aggressive family films. It's Joe Johnson.
You're going to WrestleMania. You're not going to WrestleMania, but WrestleMania is this weekend, right?
Yes, WrestleMania is this weekend. I will be in Orlando at WrestleCon, talking to wrestling fans, maybe interviewing some wrestlers. I'm definitely seeing a lot of wrestling shows.
Okay,
there's a guy who...
For 1 second. Okay, I'm going to give you time, but I just want you to make your WrestleMania predictions, because I have no clue what's going on in WrestleMania. So make your predictions now.
Okay, cool. I think Shane McMahon is going to lose. He has a match against AJ Styles. I think Undertaker is retiring this year. I think he's going to lose to Roman Reigns. I hope Triple H loses. And I want a wrestler named Sasha Banks. She's an awesome female wrestler, and I want her to win.
Interesting. Those are your WrestleMania picks for WrestleMania 31?
33? Yes, or 32. We're at the late 30s, or early 30s still, but no, there's like 14 matches on the card. I can't break them all down.
I saw an article that Shawn Michaels could have been in this WrestleMania, but he chose not to.
Yes, he was retired a couple years ago by The Undertaker, and he's been really respectful of that retirement. He's come in and done like a little spot, but he said, look, the man retired me, I'm done. Like, and I thought it was really awesome. And like, in the world of a fake sport, that someone actually is respecting a real retirement.
And he's like 100, they're all 100 years old, some of these guys.
Yeah, that's why it's so crazy.
Is Ric Flair fighting?
No, Ric Flair, God, I don't. He's Woo! Probably fighting his own demons, but that's about it.
Oh, man. Are you going to see Ghost in the Shell this weekend?
Since I'm going to be at WrestleCon, I'm going to try to find time. I would love to see Ghost in the Shell. It sucks we didn't get a screening for it, but yeah, I'm interested. I definitely think I'm going to see it.
I fly into Chicago on Friday afternoon. I'm probably going to get hammered and run crazy through the city. And then on Saturday afternoon, I'm going to find a cold, dark place to watch Ghost in the Shell hungover in nice darkness, and hopefully the pretty lights and pictures makes me feel better.
That sounds quite amazing, actually. It's going to be very beautiful.
Hi, EJ. You have a good weekend.
Thank you. I'm going to enjoy WrestleCon this weekend.
Hey, Matt, we survived another episode. Oh, no!
Once again, there are several ways to continue the conversation after the show. Follow us on Twitter at @monkeys_robots. You can look at all our silly photos on Instagram at @monkeysfightingrobots. You can follow me on Twitter at @MatthewStardo. My co-host, EJ, is also on Twitter at @EJChristWithAK. The biggest compliment we receive is when the subscriber number goes up on Blog Talk Radio, our new home, old home, current home. It's our home. If you have a chance, we'd greatly appreciate a review of our show on iTunes. As always, the best way to listen to the show is on our website, monkeysfightingrobots.com.
Okay, Lunchbox, let's try this again.
There are so many people that made the 116th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots a success. Special shout out to my co-host, EJ Marino, for putting up with me.
You know, this is, once again, thank you for putting up with me. I know it's very hard.
Jeff Shade is the creator of our amazing intros and outros. Jessica Wynn designed the Monkey Spider Robots logo. Are you a monkey or are you a robot? The staff of Visual Realm built our website and keeps us up running. To all my friends, family, and the interweb, thank you very much for your support. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.